Quirk. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Radiographers at 37 NHS trusts in England are now on a 48-hour strike as the pay row with the government continues. Saffron Cordery, the Deputy Chief Executive NHS Providers, says there will be significant disruption caused by striking radiographers as x-rays, MRI scans, CT scans and ultrasounds can't be carried out until the strike ends at 8 a.m. on Thursday. The Leader of the House of Commons says government departments have been working together to help support those affected by the infected blood scandal. Penny Mordaunt was formerly the minister responsible for the infected blood inquiry as paymaster general between February 2020 and September 2021. Reports of modern-day slavery in the UK care industry more than doubled in the first 3 months of this year. Unseen said thousands of care sector vacancies filled in the past year had been filled by overseas staff after the government had made it easier for them to work in the sector. And experts have said extreme heat and temperatures of more than 40 degrees Celsius are becoming increasingly likely in the UK due to climate change. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Alex Dunn.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £34 million.
Now that calls for a dance, Dermot.
Yeah, I'm not the best dancer.
Hit it! Dip me, Dermot! Dip me like you've never dipped before!
Get that Euro Millions feeling tonight. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Coming up, Africa in Focus. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful
Radio.
Good morning, good evening, or even good afternoon, depending on the time zone that you are listening to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto, and we are coming to you all the way from the heart of London, all the way on the airways to wherever you are on Colorful Radio. Join us today. I'm happy to be joined by my great sister, Lydia Tet Oled. She's done a lot for Kenya, and she's the lady behind Kenya in the Park. I don't want to talk about her when she's here with me. Lydia.
Yes.
But we are happy to have you. Just say hello to our listeners or viewers.
All right. Thank you very much, Baluto, for this opportunity. I just want to say hello and thank you, everybody, for listening or for tuning in.
Great. Again, as usual, we have a couple of things to talk about today. Of course, we want to also talk to Lydia and so that she can introduce to us about passion or what made her to think about something we call Kenya in the Park away from Kenya. You see, if she says Kenya in the Park and it was in Kenya, it would be easy because we have national parks. You can take people there. Lydia. This is London. Lydia, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you. Well, Baluto, there were so many things that made me start the event Kenya and Friends in the Park. And I know there's a lot of events out there, like probably Ghana in the Park or Sierra Leone in the Park. But the reason why I called it Kenya and Friends so that nobody feels left out is because Kenya is a diverse country with so much intermarry. So, and everybody wants to be part of something, so you don't want to leave anybody out. So that's why Kenya and Friends in the Park came up. But why did I actually start? I always say that there's nothing new under the sun. There's always somebody that started something somewhere, but you have to take yours and make it unique rather than copy-paste, because copy-paste doesn't really work. But when I was still thinking of what can I do to bring Kenyans together, is because, and the main reason for this was a lady, she was only 27 years old, she actually committed suicide. And for me, I was like, wow. And she left a note behind, and she said she committed suicide because she was lonely. So I was like, oh my God, it is actually true, home away from home. We do have some people here in the UK or in diaspora in general who don't have family. They don't have families. It's just them. If anything happens to them, we know, and we, Baluto, you know, because you're a member of our community as well, we have so many people who are found dead in their houses. They're found dead after 3 weeks, 1 month, because they're all alone and there's nobody there for them. So when this woman died, I was thinking, wow, we need to do something and just bring Kenyans together and friends of Kenyan together so that we can actually rekindle the friendship that we used to have before. Because remember, some of us left Kenya a long time ago when there was no mobile phones. So even though we do have other friends here, but we don't know where they are because we didn't have a mobile phone. So we don't know where they are. And if we do something big for Kenyans, then Kenyans can come and actually connect again from where they left. And when I was still processing that thought, but it was a very big dream, so it was really scary because I was thinking, how am I going to execute this? It's not something, it's not just a one-year-old birthday party that you're going to organize, because in my brain it was so big, it was so huge, and I actually wanted to execute it the way I was dreaming it. And a lady again in Uganda, in a Ugandan community, she actually died of starvation. And that broke my heart. That one was like, now you have to do something like ASAP. How can somebody die of starvation in the UK where we have communities? Where was the communities, churches, the government, family? And when she died, 5 days later, her daughter died of starvation as well. And I think that is one of the saddest deaths anybody can ever go through. And that's when I said, you know, I'm going to do this. So then we started with Kenyan Friends in the Park. And then through that process, there's also this thing that we do. It's not just it's an African thing. You send money back home, and they build you a very beautiful house. But that house is not yours. It's either a neighbor's house, it's a house that they saw in pictures and they send it to you. So I thought, It would be a good platform to bring investors here, so that if you want to buy property, it's between you and them, not you and someone else in the middle. So you cut the middleman. So if you want to send money to the middleman back home, you do that knowing that I'm sending this money for somebody to use, either to buy food or whatever, but not to build me a house. So that is where it came as well. And then we also have a lot of people in diaspora who they're still not documented and they really want to have an investment back home. There was also an opportunity for them to meet investors face to face and do and invest whatever they want to. We have people who would want to have an account back home. So we brought banks as well. So we opened, like me, I never used to have an account back home. So that gave me an opportunity as well to open an account. So it's a platform for culture as well. So yeah, children come and meet culture. And we meet with other children who actually speak Swahili. And when they see each other speaking Swahili, it's a good platform for them to now, wow, reconnect with their roots back home. And then there's food. There's our Kenyan food as well. There's some people who don't even eat nyamachoma throughout the year, apart from when they're Kenyan Friends in the Park.
It's a great moment. Everyone looks forward for a nyamachoma moment.
A nyamachoma moment. You see queues, yeah, and you're like, did you just come here for food? But, you know, it's a moment that things that you've missed, if you can't even travel to Kenya, is a moment for you to now meet those things in the park.
Yeah. Oh, that's really great. And you know what? One of the things I like about that is that opportunity to give Kenyans to come together. Mm. And probably sometime someone with our friends, they make friends there.
Yes.
Opportunity to network, mm-hmm, and all, a lot of entertainment.
Yes.
It's just great. It's amazing, mm, the initiative that, mm, you took. And how long has it been going on for?
Well, we started, the inception was 2015. That's when we started it. And now it grows every year, even though we have had some hiccups on the way, but we're still thanking God for whatever he has done for us.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. So therefore, like, when you talk about pulling out all these, a lot of people, they see the people together on the day, mm, and they, in a very innocent and a nice way, they walk away saying, Lydia is so lucky she called people and they came. Is it as simple as that?
I wish she was. People don't understand the preparation behind. You'll see people saying, oh, you're charging too much. You see people saying, oh, it's expensive. You see people saying, oh, but the council are paying for it. You see people saying the government is paying for it. The embassy is paying for it. Who is paying for it? But it's so funny because I have one lady that I brought her on board this year. In fact, her name is Monica. Monica K. I can actually say that because she was like, now she knows Kenya in the Park. Now she knows Kenya and Friends in the Park. She said, I did not know that it's this hectic. I normally thought that the park is free. People don't understand what goes behind Kenya and Friends in the Park to organize it. From the council, no council is free. So somebody to come and tell you, oh, why is, you know, in East London, you're charging too expensive. I never try to explain to anybody because I'm like, anybody who knows what goes behind will not even say anything. They forget their security. And then if your child comes to Kenyan Friends in the Park and they get lost or anything happens, they'll come to you again. But you had to get security. The council tells you how many security you need to get.
They also tell you how many.
Yes, according to the people you bring. It's even there in the domain. It's in the domain. So if these things are things that people can actually check, even the toilets, they tell you how many toilets you need.
So it's not you to choose.
It's not you to choose. And how much is one unit of a toilet?
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow. And also, you're talking about many other things. You're going to have some ambulance there.
Ambulance, they are charging.
Police
ambulance is no free. Police to come there is no free. Toilets, stage, lights, because you have to get generators. Fencing, you have to fence the whole perimeter. Sound engineer. Oh my God, it's so many things. Security, stewards, volunteers. The bin, even the rubbish bin, the skip. Oh. You have to buy to get the skip. You have to get. It's so expensive.
It's so expensive. A lot of other unwritten expenses. Like I remember when we kicked off, I had to go for Kenya flag.
For the Kenya flag. Yes.
From south of London all the way to the north.
Yes.
And back.
Yes, you had to go to the Kenyan, and their flag had to be guarded by. Everything. Yeah.
It's not just a flag. It's got to be guarded.
It's not just a flag.
It's a symbol of national unity.
Exactly. So a lot of things go through behind Kenya and Friends of the Park. So Monica, when she was there, she was like, what? I thought this was just simple, like ABCD. But now I respect you guys. And there's also my sister who did, she was manager of, not like a manager, but she was the one overseeing volunteers last year when we did it, last year about one. She said, I'm never doing this again. I said, why? If this is what it takes, I'm never doing this again. I don't want to do this again. So I was laughing. I said, it's easier for people who just come and enjoy themselves and criticize and go.
Yeah.
But it's really hard behind the scene. That's all I can say. But
it's,
you know,
easy.
What? God has been faithful.
No,
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, it's been great. It's happened. It keeps happening.
Yes.
And it will keep happening.
Amen.
So when we see coming up, next one, and where can people find details where to come? Of course, probably you have a website or some people can go to.
Mm. So we have a website, and the website is www.kenyainthepark.com. So if you go to there, there's Eventbrite. That's where you can get your tickets from. And the park, the date is on 29th and 30th of July, and it's in Pitt's Hanger Park. So Pitt's Hanger Park is in Ealing. So we had to move as well.
West London.
It's in West London.
I feel bad because I'll be away. It will be the first one I miss.
Oh, no, Balito.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
It's one of those things. Yeah.
The sun country.
Work-wise, different places.
Mm.
But I will miss it, but keep my nyama choma for me.
Yeah, nyama
when
choma
I come
will
back.
Be there. Don't worry.
Colorful radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturiser. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturisation. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturisation.
Our next subject, we want to talk about the great, wonderful country, not now in the park, but on the ground. Kenya on the ground.
Tunajivunia kuwa wa Kenya.
It's a wonderful country.
Amen.
See, it's the only place that, by all definition, when you talk about Kenya, it's got its greatness. Let me tell you something about Kenya if you didn't know. Kenya is a homeland of Obama, former president of the U.S.
He's still the president.
When you talk about Kenya, the Queen of England became queen when she was in Kenya.
Treetop Hotel.
Yeah, very nice narrative. She went up to the Treetop Hotel as a princess, but she came down as the queen. So the actual becoming the queen happened when she was in the Kenya. Mm. So Kenya has got a lot of friends from around the world.
Yes.
To those who believe in evolution, of course, the fossils that were dug to explain the origin of mankind, trace them back to Kenya. Kenya has the largest museum on evolution in the world. So we are talking about Kenya. This great country is also very great in terms of politics. It's so very hot political. Well, sometimes it's got all these heat waves of politics, like right now, heat waves of politics, and that's what we are talking. We want them to be calmed down. Calm them down. We don't want heat waves of politics. We want Kenya to continue to be great. We don't know what your opinion is, but of course, to give you a background, we had this disputed election in terms of who won and all that. Then we have, you know, currently we have the controversial finance bill that was signed into law, which a lot of Kenyans are. You need to repeal it because life is very expensive for everybody. Hence the protest. So everyone, you guys out there, you've witnessed, we are saying, Kenyans, call upon the two main people, former Prime Minister Raila Odinga, call President Ruto. They need to talk. We need talks. We don't want bloodshed. I don't know. Talk. Let us hear your opinion. Lydia, your take.
For me, what I want to say about that situation is life is hard everywhere. Even here in the UK, petrol now is crazy. Everything, rent is crazy, is going up. Everything is expensive everywhere in the world, not just in Kenya. But the thing is, what I disagree with, especially in Kenya right now, because we see what is happening, is yes, you're taxing everybody. Hair is being taxed. I hear fake nails. So even if I go to Kenya, I'm sure this my fake nails I'll be told to pay tax.
Or even my red hair.
And my fake lashes. And my fake lashes. I'll be like, you have to pay tax. But I do, I get the fact that everywhere is expensive. The only problem is, it's not even about the taxes in Kenya. I don't think people are upset because of that. I don't think people are upset because of the way the petrol is going up, bread is going up. Because it's like that everywhere. But the thing is, this money that is being taxed, what is it doing? Do you understand? We've not seen anything that anybody can tell us that, okay, we've taxed you, now the hospital is free. The hospital is not free. Schools are not free. The roads are horrible. Nothing is working. Nothing is functioning. And you're telling us that we are taking tax from you so that your grandmother can go to hospital for free, or your mom or your parents can go to hospital. Where is this money going? The hospital is more corrupt. If your person goes to the hospital, the first day is 1 million. Where is a common wananchi in Kenya supposed to get 1 million? Because right now in Kenya, we have more common wananchi than the rich ones.
Of course.
We have more common ones. So where is this common wananchi supposed to get 1 million Kenya shillings, or even 10,000 Kenya shillings, when they can't even make that? The money they're making is being taxed. you're forced to have a house, but not everybody wants to have a house. You can't force me to pay tax for a house. Everybody have their own priority. They have what they want. Somebody wants to teach their children, educate their children, so one day probably they'll have a house one day, or they'll not even want to have a house, but they want to see that their children are educated. So everybody have their different priorities. So you cannot force a nation that everybody must have a house. That's impossible.
But the funny side of it, they're already living in a house.
Exactly.
They're not on the street.
They're not on the street. They're already living in a house. So what's the point of me paying for a house and yet I'm dying hungry? I'm starving. So for me, it's not about life is everything is going high, because everything is high everywhere. Even in the UK, we can see everything is high. When it's cold, we have to put our heaters on. Now we can't even put our heaters on. We're wearing jackets and socks and hats, and we're getting sick every day because it's cold. So because the life of living is gone high. But the good thing with the UK, you can see what is happening. You can see the roads. Everything is functioning. Here in the UK, the old people, people who are elderly, the elderly people, the hospital is free, NHS is free. They have accommodation. They can give them, if you've had a baby and you have nowhere to stay, the council will help you. They'll help you pay for your rent. Where is that money coming from? From the taxes. So you can see that it's actually working. They're putting it in place. In Kenya, people are dying of starvation. People are dying in the streets. Like people don't have money. People don't have work. And that's why, because they're idle, they don't have work. That's why most of them will go in the streets to fight, because they're thinking, I'd rather live standing than die on my knee, something like that.
Yeah, it goes something like that. But
yeah,
Lydia,
like
when
that.
You look into, I try to find a way to justify taxing people to build homes for them, but I never succeeded, because number one, I'm just imagining a lot of Kenyans are middle class, right?
Mm-hmm.
They own houses, they own their own houses, they pay mortgages, or some of them are already paying everything. So to take away that middle class bracket of Kenyans, and all they want is to pay for their mortgage, why are you, as the government, telling them to pay any extra to bring low cost housing? See, the other thing is, they can rightly argue, you're the government.
Mm.
It's your duty to do that.
Mm-hmm. To build those
don't
houses.
Don't tax me because you already taxed me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And another thing is, like, when you look into the amount being taxed, let's talk about now the aspect of taxing people to build for them. The amount that is being taxed is so low.
Mm-hmm.
So, how long will it take before one qualifies
to get
a house to be built? Another, there are so many questions. Where is the land where these houses will be built?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the land?
Mm-hmm.
Because look, let me tell you the truth. If you approach a property dealer or land seller dealer, they will quickly tell you, before you build a house, you have to have a land. And before now you start to make the first payment, they have shown you the land that your house will occupy, so you know what you are paying for. You can't just pay on hot air stuff you don't know where it's going to be. There's no explanation where it will be. You can't do that,
and that's what we're doing
and
right
therefore
now.
You are taking money from people, and it's mandatory, which is worse, because
when
you convert it into taxation, it's mandatory, and therefore this is a problem a lot of Kenyans are facing. Come back again in terms of the finance bill. You know, when you tax petrol almost double, it's got knock-on effect. Many people may not see it clearly, but I'll use an illustration of someone who used to pay 150 shillings to commute from their house to their place of work. Now, according to the increment that went up, now they have to pay almost double, which makes it 300 shillings. This is the 300 shillings, if you multiply by 30, which is 30 days of the month, it's some 9,000 shillings. And I'm sure my maths are correct. 300 times 10, that would be 3,000. Multiply that by 3, that's 9,000 shillings. Now, do you know this guy who used to pay 150 Some of them are paid 20,000 shillings. Mm-hmm. Some of them, 20,000 shillings per month. Mm. So if you've eaten into their payslip to that extent, what are you telling them? Mm-hmm. Then on the same guy, VAT went up as well. Mm-hmm. VAT again, as we all know, has got knock-on effect. Mm. It will affect the cost of prices in the shops. Petrol as well. VAT will also be reflected on petrol. Mm. When you look into all these things, knock-on effect, this guy is left breathless. Mm. And don't forget, we are coming out of Kenya, where there was almost four seasons with no harvest. Mm-hmm. Drought. If you remember that.
Yep.
So that's why you see it's not about ordinary folks being on the street having nothing to do. Mm. These protests, we are seeing everybody, even leaving their big cars to join in the protest because cost of living is too
cost of living
painful
is crazy.
To so many people.
It's crazy. So, and Baluto, it's not just the cost of living. And that's what I keep on saying. Because even if I know that, okay, the cost of living is expensive because they're taxing me. But if I'm sick, I'll go to the hospital for free. And I'll get free medication. And I'll get free treatment. You see, I can actually live with that. I know that my children can go to school, free education. Forget that ilo wanadanganya free education. But when you get to school, you pay this, you pay this. By the time you finish paying all these things, they'll rather just charge you school fees because it's useless.
Yeah, there's a lot of cost.
Taking my child to school. So if you tell me that I'm paying taxes, which I'll be happy to pay, but I'm paying taxes, but if I'm sick, it's free. If my children are going to school, look at this country, education is free. My children go to school for free. And even if there is a trip in this country and I cannot afford it, they'll pay it. All you have to do is sign and say, my income is low, I'm on this income. They'll pay for your child to go to that trip. They'll never let your child stay home and feel poor because they can't afford to go to the trip with the other children. So you see, you'll be happy to pay your taxes. I'm happy to pay my taxes in this country. 100%, because I know they do something.
This is Colorful Radio.
Colorful Radio.
Colorful.
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 Genius.
Colorful.
Colorful Radio.
Question is, how do we care? Diaspora, do you care? This is your country. Or, you see, when Kenyans watch us talk, they're like, you have no clue. You can talk like that just because you're not here. You don't know what's going on. Mm. But what do you think out there? Do you think diaspora, we know what's going on in Kenya? Oh, for me, I justify myself. I see a lot of things when you're on the ground, you take them for granted. For me, I look at everything because I'm far.
Mm, exactly.
I look more clearly because I'm far. I want to see everything.
Mm.
But a lot of people on the ground is like, oh, we know. This is, okay, I'll give you an example. You see, you've gone to a roundabout with all these flashy, wonderful, techno, high-class traffic lights with a countdown.
Mm.
And you're driving. And you're waiting, looking at the traffic light. It's just showed you green to go. And then a traffic officer will come and show you need to stop. And all this confusion, and you're like,
what's the light?
Why? Why do we need traffic officers where there's traffic lights? And when you think that way, the locals are like quick to say, oh, it's a Kenyan thing. So when you're in diaspora, you're like, where there's traffic lights, you just want to be controlled by traffic lights.
Yes.
You know what? But they say it's a Kenyan. So they take all these things for granted.
Mm.
But we look and we see a lot clearer. And it's not like you're just talking from a capital in the world. We participate in this country.
Mm.
Diaspora sends huge chunks of money on the ground. Mm-hmm. So those who think diaspora just talk, no, give us a break in the diaspora. Mm. We send a lot of money. We are connected.
Mm.
We are support. You know, we are there working with either families or doing other things.
Mm.
So it's our country.
Yeah.
So we cannot be treated as foreigners.
We contribute a lot in the development of our country. Because even if I'm sending money to my shosh or my mom to go to the hospital, I've actually still contributed something.
Exactly.
You know, we teach or train the whole village, the whole community. We pay school fees for their children. We pay school fees for children there. We do a lot of charity works. We educate a lot of people. Hospitalization we pay. Building houses, development. We do a lot of stuff as diaspora. So we should also be given a voice to talk and be listened to, especially, and respected. And I like the fact that we were allowed to vote. I really like the fact that we were allowed to vote. But did our vote really count? That's the thing. Did it really count? Does our voice count? Or is just a protocol thing? Like, you know, sometimes when it's a protocol to just employ black people, you tick the box. Yeah, we have
three black
people. They're
calling it ticking boxes. Ticking box exercise. Ticking box exercise.
So is it just ticking the box exercise, but you're just behind the scene. Nobody wants to hear you. You have to be seen and not heard. You understand? But with diaspora, we do contribute a lot in the development of our country, Kenya. And I think our voices should be heard. And I think diaspora as well need to come and talk about what's happening in Kenya. Because whether we're going to be heard or not, I don't know. But at least you've said something. And that's why people are demonstrating right now. And they're like, we're being ignored. We've not been listened to.
Yeah, because when you look into what's going on right now, the key people can actually bring about massive change.
Mm-hmm.
If the president spoke with the opposition leader, Raila Odinga, and whatever agreements they come to, we just want a peaceful country.
Mm.
I mean, Kenyans just want a peaceful country.
Yeah.
But there are issues that Kenyans are angry about.
Mm.
So whatever agreements will be done from, like, whether it's Raila and Uhuru, I mean Raila and Ruto talking, there are issues that have to be addressed. Let me point out very clear, whether we like it or not as a country, is about again to reform the electoral body.
Mm.
It's not fit for purpose.
Mm.
See, the thing is, before we last general election results were announced, the whole commission was split down the middle.
Mm.
So we need reconstitution of this electoral body.
Mm.
But away from that, what I've gathered with a lot of Kenyans when I speak with them is that's not enough. We need, like, civic education to begin to either educate the politicians, educate Kenyans.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, we also, as Kenyans, need to begin to have faith in these institutions, those we have.
Mm.
We need to have faith in them. Let me give you an example. We are in the UK. But if you were not paying attention, seriously, Lydia, and you are my witness, if you're not paying attention in the UK, a general election can happen. A prime minister can be replaced, and you don't even have a clue. So the day after, you are like, "What's the prime minister of the UK?" You say, "Rishi Sunak," and I'm like,
"What?
Which country are you living?"
The last time it was so and so.
Because election is a non-issue.
Yeah, peaceful.
It's so peaceful.
It's very peaceful,
and there's no these big billboard boards carrying whatever. You don't even have to spend that money. If very election peaceful. Is about electing someone you like.
Mm.
Or someone to represent you, it doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg.
Mm.
Sell your policies. That's what happens in the UK. They just use these leaflets, flyers, through homes. They drop them through pigeonhole of your door.
Yep.
And you never see a politician with a big political rally anywhere.
With cars with everywhere.
With cards.
And bribing people.
Driving, waving, saying tialala
or
tano tena. You don't see that.
And the other thing as well that I love this country for, or the Western for, is the fact that if a minister or president, whoever you are, they always take responsibility for their own action. Anything small like this, if they put you in the lens, even just for 2 days, that this is all you did. You scrambled money. You used money. You did this. You're gone. You're actually gone. Because nobody will let that story, they will not let it lie down. They will not let
Shall
it
Shall we give an example? And of course, we are not calling anyone names. But let's give you an example. For example, former Prime Minister Boris.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, he was hounded out of office. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his prime ministerial position because of the way he handled COVID.
COVID.
And as if that was not enough.
Enough.
Yeah, now they chased him until he lost his parliamentary seat.
Yes.
No, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. They're asking for WhatsApp messages from his phone.
Yes.
That's how serious it
That's
is.
That's how serious
so,
it is.
So, as Kenyans, I'm saying, we need to
minister?
Learn how to respect our institutions.
Yes.
Because without respecting the institutions, we are going nowhere. How Every society has got to be regulated by a framework.
Yes.
That framework could be the Supreme Court. It could be the courts. So we respect courts and their rulings.
But
it could be the electoral body.
Yes.
But also we need to respect the electoral
that.
Body and agree with them.
Yes.
So we don't keep saying they can't work forever.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he's hoping they suffer, we don't trust whether they are true or not. We need to begin as Kenyans to trust our institutions. In terms of police, we also need to trust they can protect us as Kenyans. So trust of institution is key, and it takes civic education to all of us.
Mm.
But also these institutions, they need to know, they need to be fit for purpose, and they need to be reformed. And actually, they need to adhere to the laws.
Mm.
So, for example, last general election, if the law stipulates that IEBC, you as a chairman, you cannot just go and announce the winner alone, then you know Chebukati back off.
Mm.
Yeah, you better call for another general election
and
see this one you bungled than to rush under duress to announce someone.
Yes.
That's silly move.
Yes.
You follow the law of the land. We have to follow the law of
the
land.
But the thing
this
is,
institution follow the laws of the land.
But the thing is, Africa is a continent, not just Kenya, to be honest, but Africa is a continent. There's no law of the land. It's a law of the person. It's a law of an individual. An individual comes up with the law, and everybody have to follow that law. Because
look at it again, Lydia. After they've been elected in Africa, they say, it's the fault of you, as
for electing us.
Electorates, for electing us.
Mm-hmm.
Because many African countries, we won't put any name anywhere, you have people who have been accused of corruption. You have seen millions lost.
And they're still
and
there.
And that money, somehow, it finds its way in the mainstream, becomes campaigning money, and they still go. So what probably we are asking? Accountability.
Somebody who stole
accountability. And also election.
Yes.
I have an issue because sometimes you look into Kenya, for example, our constitution is very progressive.
Mm.
We have chapter 6 of the constitution, ethics and integrity chapter. It talks about all these things, and it stipulates the kind of person who the electoral body should clear to buy.
Yes.
So that is our barrier number one.
Mm.
Those who clear people to fire, don't clear people you know they have cases, like hoard lorries with no spare parts on the road, still struggling to be driven.
Yes.
You don't clear them.
Yep.
You are our first point, you know, our first barrier.
Mm.
Don't clear them, because if you don't clear them,
they won't get
their fans who don't know the whole story will not vote for them.
Yeah, that's true.
Then after they've been cleared, they are thrown to you electorate. Do some research on whoever you support. Find out about their character.
Voters' education.
Voters'
it's
education.
Never there. It's not there.
Yeah.
We just educate because somebody gave me unga today. Okay, fine. I've eaten ugali today. What am I going to eat tomorrow? We don't look at that. It's just, that's why we need voters' education.
Yeah.
Before we start even going to know voting, we need voters' education. But that's lacking.
But when you look at the problem we have in Africa, do you see it's like a trend right now? Because our elections were controversial. Nigerians' election was controversial as well. And when you look into this year, what we saw, very unique. 4 countries in Africa doing their protest at the same time.
Yeah.
We had Kenya, South Africa, Tunisia, and which other one? Nigeria. 4 countries at the same time doing protest. And it's all about politics. It's all about mostly outcomes of an election. Of course, South Africa and Tunisia was different case, but Kenya one was mainly about outcomes of election, those people who were elected. Is it an African thing, do you think? And do you think if it's an African thing, we will ever change as Africa?
I think we can change. We can't change when you start having voters education. We can't change when you start having civil education. We can change. I don't believe that. I always believe that it can be better tomorrow, but we have to be willing to to make it better tomorrow. We have to be willing to learn. So I think it can change. We also saw in America, it wasn't peaceful with... what's the name of that guy?
Donald Trump.
Yeah. It wasn't peaceful with him either. But that was a one-off. Because we've seen even America is always peaceful, but that was a one-off, so we can't count that. But yes, in Africa, there's no country that always never have a peaceful election. Tanzania does, probably. It's always people are fighting, people are being killed. Like, a blood has to be shed for someone else to come on in power. And then you also have countries like Uganda. Since I was born, it's been that president. I've never known of any other president apart from the same president. We can't run away from it because it's our continent. We have to collectively, as a people, decide what we can do and to change, because we are more than the people in government. If we decide, as how many are we, like 50, are we 58 million in Kenya? How many people in government?
Is there fewer?
Exactly. We have fewer. More people who are not in government. So if all of us who are not in government decide that this is what we're going to do, we can change the government. We can change. We can bring those people out of power and bring a different, totally different people in place. We can. But are we willing to do that? No, we're not. Because my tribe is there. My person is there. My this is there. We just put people in power without thinking.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Yeah, but when you look at it, it's very controlled. It's not that easy. Very controlled. It's in terms of, even though there are fewer, they are wielding coercive power. And that coercive means all the resources for force. They own them, and therefore they can beat others to submission. I know what you mean, because the people are more what you call the people. But of course, we advocate for the rule of law, and in terms of when you talk about change coming. Yes, people can protest, people can bring about change. But the question is, how long do you protest? And that's when you protest, are you listened to? Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, at some point, when we use other countries to illustrate and also justify, it's not just Kenya. We know elections are likely to be disputed. We rightly talked about US. We saw last general election. Donald Trump, he didn't accept, he lost the election, and he kept on fighting anyway. But it was more controlled, it was more peaceful, and I don't think anyone died, like as people die in African little conflicts. So what I'm saying is that if the constitution allows people to protest peacefully, the protesters, number one, have to know what peaceful means.
Yeah, exactly.
You cannot be violent. You cannot begin to loot.
You cannot be throwing stones in and destroying
peaceful demonstration.
Yeah, destroying the roads.
But also, when you talk about the police, if the police knows the meaning of peaceful protest, they should not come armed with tear gas, or they should not be the ones who provoke.
Because bullet,
when you provoke, there will be a reaction to your provocation.
Exactly.
So it's like you started it. Yeah. So there's a way that these things need to be controlled. Look, I've been in countries like here. Look, in the UK, I mean, I almost saw protests involving close to 1 million people during the Iraq invasion of Iraq. Story about weapons of mass destruction. Almost about close to 1 million people were protesting in the UK, but not a single one lost their life. That's what we are talking about.
Exactly.
Because you can contain people without shooting them. And why are you carrying live bullets?
Why are you carrying live bullets?
To shoot your fellow Kenyans?
Yes.
I don't mind the tear gas, but why life bullets?
Life bullets, I think you've gone to kill. Yeah, you've gone to kill.
Yeah.
If you're carrying a life bullet, yeah. You've left that station of yours knowing that I'm going to kill somebody.
But, you know, if worse came to worse, we have rubber bullets.
Yeah, there's rubber bullets. So why do you carry life bullets?
In Africa also, we may consider stuff like, tasers. Tasers.
Yeah.
Because a taser is electric current, which temporarily disable someone, but they will live.
But yeah? I think Balito,
don't kill.
I think should be Balito, the rule. Our police. I don't know if is it because they're being underpaid? Because like the other clip I saw the other day, I don't know. They were stepping on this guy, and the police. So many police were coming and just beating this guy. It's like they're looking for something. They're looking for something to release their anger. They're looking for something to release the anger. So if they find you, you're in trouble. So I think there should be a balance for both police and people who are protesting as well. Because even the protesters as well, you're destroying roads, you're destroying schools, you're destroying people's businesses. And these are the things that tomorrow now, the school that your child is going to, you've destroyed that school. So where is your child going to school tomorrow? The roads, you've destroyed the roads. How are we going to cross?
We don't want to be destructive. We don't want to destroy what made us great.
We don't want to
look at expressway.
But Kenya, expressway. It's nice, but they destroyed it.
It's
they're
so
going
nice.
To...
I've used it before. And yeah. I'm like, this is Kenya. I love it. So, it cut long journeys into so small little journeys.
Yeah, so you can't do that. And you can't ban people's businesses, because even the person you're banning their business, they've hustled to have that business. Now they don't have anything. You're destroying things. That's looting stuff. It's the destroying things that I'm against. And then also the police as well. The police, I don't think they're given any rule. It's like they're told, enda uwe, shoot and ask questions later.
We wouldn't say what they are told. We are just saying.
That's my assumption. Yeah. That's my assumption.
But
because of the way they behave,
what
you're
saying, follow the law.
Nobody wants to follow the law.
The law says protect those who are engaged in peaceful,
and serve.
Peaceful demonstration. That's legal. But protect, don't shoot, don't kill. But protesters, don't loot,
don't destroy people's
don't
businesses.
Don't engage in fighting.
Yes.
That's not part of that aspect of peace. It dissipates the moment you are picking up a stone. Don't go armed, you know.
Yeah.
It's peaceful, you know, peaceful protest is about.
Peaceful protest.
Peace.
Yeah.
And also the police maintain
the police
peace
provoke
by
it.
Not being provocative, not attacking,
yeah,
not going there to stop it. Because if the constitution allows people to protest peacefully, why do you go ready to stop the protest? Why? You know what I mean? If it's allowed by the constitution, and I'm going back to the ruling by the court, Supreme Court in Kenya. Tomorrow, someone had gone to court, I think his name is Gitau, to put an injunction not for the protest not to begin, the 3-day protest not to begin. But the court ruled allowing protest to go on. So we are saying, police, protect protesters. Don't go there with ready bullets to shoot and kill. Protest protesters. But protesters, it's peaceful protest. Don't go there engaged to fight. Throw stones, do anything, loot. That's not peaceful protest.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have a challenge.
We have.
I think we need a balance. What's going to happen? I mean, what do you guys think? Should the protest be called off? Should it go on? What's your take?
I think it should be a peaceful protest. I think it should be peaceful. If I was asked, I would say, yes, they can protest because they're protesting for something that makes sense, not something that doesn't make sense, but it should be a peaceful one. It should be a peaceful one. And police should not provoke anybody. They should not try and stop it forcefully, because even they don't stop it nicely, they also try to stop it forcefully. And because of that, the people react. Mwananchi now reacts. And when they react, hell breaks loose. Now people die, lose their lives, people lose their businesses, you know. But if somebody was to ask, do you think it should go on? Yes, but it should be a peaceful protest, because in every country, people do protest, but it's peaceful.
Yeah, when it's peaceful, there are no incidents of people losing their lives. But, you know, to those who are protesting, you have brought your point home.
Yes.
Being given the chance to hear your opinion is being heard. You can even present petitions.
Exactly.
But it's got to be peaceful protest, because yes, without that, it's not going to work.
Yes.
So, Kenya, we pray for peace from tomorrow.
Pray for peace.
Pray for peace. We don't want deaths, political deaths. We want our country holding together.
Mm.
So, and the sender in this case, very important.
Yes.
One of my favorite novelist, his name is Chinua Achebe.
Chinua Achebe.
He wrote a book known as Things Fall Apart. And the most notable part of that book is his, you know, right, it's like a rhyme, but it's a short stanza there saying, the sender cannot hold, things fall apart.
Hmm.
We want what we can call sender for Kenya to hold. We really want the sender of Kenya to hold. And this sender is not just about UDA or Azimio. It's a combination of leadership. It's time we see leadership at display from both the opposition and those in government. We want to see leadership. All this yapping, all these threats, all this chest thumping, as Kenyans, we say that's nonsense. We don't want to see that. We don't want you to prove who you are. Can I also share with Kenyans, these leaders calling upon one, Utaniona, you see me, they'll be guarded in their house, eating nicely with their families, having dinners. They'll not be on the street. Moses Kuria will not be on the street. Neither will be all these calling threats. No one will be on the street. They'll be guarded, hitting at their houses. But they incited you to go and fight for UDA, or others to fight for Azimio. We don't want Kenyans to fight. End of story. Whatever is political, let it be political war. It can be debated by minds, great minds. We want to see great minds at work.
Yes.
No stones, no tear gas, great minds. And that's our message.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be UDA fighting Azimio. It should be Kenyans collectively fighting for a common goal. They're fighting for a common goal, fighting for justice, not UDA now fighting. That's civil war. Are we trying to have civil war in Kenya? Is that what we're heading to? And that's where we will head to if we're not careful as a country, as a people. If we just tell us, go this way and we're going this way, we're not asking, why are you telling me to go this way? And I think that's the problem with a lot of Kenyans, is they ask you to jump. You don't ask how, you just ask how high. Do you understand?
Exactly.
You don't ask, why should I jump?
Yeah.
Because now, how can they say, oh, well, now we're calling UDA and we're calling Azimio? That's dividing a country already. You're dividing a country.
And group has said, we are going to protest, and you call another group to go and counter the protest by another protest. That's antagonizing Kenyans. So if I were me, if it was for me, I would say, UDA, Azimio, stay at home. Let the politician who are so full of fire go and meet each other in the field.
Let them,
we see what's happened. Let them fight. We see how far they can go.
Exactly.
They should not just be talking behind sealed windows, nice houses, having dinners with their family. They go there, yap, shout, threaten, but they don't do anything. A true man and a true man, I'll repeat, a true man or a true woman is the one who knows the value of peace.
Yes.
Our country needs peace.
Yes.
And our country, Kenyans, don't be incited by politicians.
Mm.
Let them fight their war. Don't engage. We should never see tribal clashes or anything. No, we shouldn't. We are all Kenyans. We have only one country. Let those who try to divide us stay in their own cocoons.
Mm.
But we are not going to engage as Kenyans.
Let's embarrass them. Let's embarrass them.
Wow, doesn't time fly when we are having
fun?
I know.
Thank you very much, Maluto, for today.
That's all we have for now.
Enjoy this conversation.
Yes.
And just to remind everybody that on the 29th and on the 30th is Kenya and Friends in the Park. I know a lot of Kenyans don't like saying Kenya and Friends in the Park. They always say Kenya in the Park, but it's not Kenya in the Park.
You want to
Kenya
own it.
And Friends. Yeah, and Friends. We shouldn't forget that. Because we do have a lot of Indians who are Kenyans. We have a lot of Somalians. We have a lot of other nationalities, even Caucasians, because we've intermarried a lot.
There's a compromise.
No compromise
that
day.
Let me tell you the compromise.
Yes.
You can say Kenya before you say in the park. You can say loudly, Kenya. And you can say, and Friends. Compromise.
Yeah. Oh God. Anyway, we are all welcome. We're going to have lots of fans. We're going to have a lot of, we have a lot of sponsors, a lot of investors coming from Kenya. A lot
so they
of
cannot
property.
Afford to miss it, yeah?
Yeah, so you cannot afford to miss it. And we always put a disclaimer. I like putting a disclaimer, Baluto, because as much as we're working with all these, especially properties,
yeah.
as much as we're working with properties, you also yeah. have to do your own due diligence.
Of course.
Do not come back and say, and this recording, I like this because this will be there recorded. Yeah. Do not come back and say, we've met this person in Kenya and Friends in the Park and we just believed what Lydia told us. Don't do that.
Whatever
we,
they do,
you have do to your do own your own due diligence. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you to our listeners. Stay tuned.
Africa in Focus.
Yo, look, I'm in Amsterdam, blowing them it with a hottie. Then I'm back to the block where it's grimy, dot rotten GSC, no block hopping to the youths that they ain't got a trap, they got options. Do they listen? Not often. All they ever know is take risk and prosper. I turn this tune into loss, I turn water to wine. No one taught me to grind blind. Watch mummy consign a half a it was flying. Tell G parts I barely make the time, but I'm trying. In this jungle, I'm a lion, gotta eat. Broke time, couldn't sleep, but I slept on my dream. Cause I kept it with fiends. Said Peter, says Steve. Now it's lumberjack pushing bare trees. I'm a soldier on the road, taking time to hit cells. I don't lose, I don't fail. I was laying on this trail and this path to success. Dying out with the last of them left.
Tell me how you feel when you're broken. Cop think I'm addicted to this potion. Like, tell me how you feel when your bro's gone. I lost too many people in this life, it's been a cold one. Tell me how you feel when you're broken. Cop think I'm addicted to this potion. Like, tell me how you feel when your bro's gone. I lost too many people
Yo,
in this life, it's
look,
been
I
a cold
it from
one.
The mud, it really never had a pound to my name. I ain't gonna lie, I ain't sold ounces. If you ask how much out in a day, and I ain't living in the block, now I'm out of the way. Can't wait till the day that I'm out of the game. I put my ear to the streets, they all sounding the same, and I ain't blown yet. Oh, what a shame. He's lying, he's lame, he's weird, he's strange. Bad energy, stay far away. I wake up and I meditate, I'm still breathing, I gotta celebrate. Sorry, nanny, I'm still selling weight, and I got five waiting, I was telling weight. Because they know that the food that I'm selling great. My homie got a counting line case. I was praying, yes, NFA, POPFU, broke. Nobody coming to your rescue, I promise. My big bro David spent 10 years doing porridge, still cut A cut a fender while I'm up and down the roads in his blender. Straight facts, no pretender. Pretending, end of the beginning of the ending. My homies hitting cells and I don't even want to send in. And now I ever speak about the money that I lent him. It could all go tomorrow, then I'll see who my friends is.
Tell me how you feel when you're broken. Cop think I'm addicted to this potion. Like, tell me how you feel when your bro's gone. I lost too many people in this life, it's been a cold one. Tell me how you feel when you're broken. Cop think I'm addicted to this potion.
My baby, yeah.
It's Bryce Benson, baby.
She says she wants to love. I give her my love. She says she wants Ferrari. I buy her Ferrari. Slay mama. Slay mama, slay mama, she better than slay mama. Slay mama, slay mama, my baby. Slay mama, slay mama, slay mama, she better than slay mama. Slay mama, slay mama.